NHL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Brent Dorn and Don Davenport with you until 6 o'clock. Hope you're having a great Thursday. Last Dance, everybody's talking about that. There's no doubt. And one of the stars over the weekend was certainly a guy that we've all watched his career at Iowa and through the NBA. That's B.J. Armstrong, who joins us now. And B.J., welcome in, man. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much for having us on, and I hope you and your family are all staying safe.
We are. There's no doubt. I appreciate that. Tate Frazier also joins us. The podcast Pushing Through with the Kid and Tate after the Last Dance with B.J. Armstrong and Tate Frazier. Welcome in, guys. B.J., glad to hear from you. Tate, welcome to the show.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you guys having us on. And like you said, it's the final week of the Last Dance. We've got a lot of things to talk about, and it's a great time to have something to talk about in a world where no sports are going on.
All right, before we jump into the details of the Last Dance, how did this podcast with you two all come about?
Yeah, so it came together in about January. BJ and I have known each other for about 3 years now. We had always just talked basketball off air to each other. We enjoyed those conversations, and over time, I was producing a bunch of podcasts, and then BJ and I kept talking, and we're like, we should just do a podcast. Let's just have a conversation with each other, and then the Last Dance was obviously coming out this summer. We knew that we'd have some good topic points there because of BJ's background, and then it got pushed up due to all the quarantine-type stuff, and we really leaned into it, and we just kind of have done this whole little series after the Last Dance. We've had a lot of good guests on. Trent Tucker was just on the show the other day, so he and BJ were reminiscing on the 93 season, so it all comes down to basketball and laughing at the world together. So that's pretty much the premise of the show.
Now, people understand B.J. Armstrong, a former NBA All-Star, three-time NBA champ. Tate Frazier, as you mentioned, launched the Ringer Podcast Network, worked with Bill Simmons, hosts multiple podcasts on the Westwood One Podcast Network. I'm curious, guys, NBA players appear willing to get the season going again. How do you guys see this thing playing out?
Well, I think it's much more complicated than just guys wanting to play. I mean, as far as, what's going on with the coronavirus and the safety of not just, in a particular area or community you in, I mean, this has an effect or has had an effect on all of us wherever you're at in the world. So we're still trying to gather, just like everyone else, all of the information. And we are also being patient to try to see and make sense of whatever this new normal is going to be. So we've all, have been affected. We all understand, I think, to the degree of that there will be a new normal, and everyone is just trying to gather as much information as they can, because the safety of all is the only way that we can get through this one, and it's going to require all of us to do that, be disciplined, be responsible to get through this together as one.
All right, let's get into the Last Dance. Your playing time with Michael Jordan and the Bulls, BJ. Your rookie season was Michael's sixth. I'm sure you were well aware of his unbelievable skill set when you were picked in the first round by the Bulls, but how aware of his tyrannically competitive personality were you?
Well, yeah, much has been said about his, what has been portrayed here in the documentary. What I recall is that, all of us were that way, and clearly he had more talent to go out and have a larger impact on the outcome of the game than most, and certainly on our team. But we were a group of truth tellers. We were a group where everyone was very competitive, and most importantly, we were committed to the process, what we had to do to get the results we were all looking for. And Michael was our leader. And if you're going to be the leader, right, you have to be committed, all in, or you're all out. And we had a player, a young player, who not only was good but had leadership skills. And he was going about his business, but we had other people on the team. We especially had veterans like Bill Cartwright and John Paxson. We had a young emerging player and Scottie Pippen. And we had a bunch of young players that were all willing to do what was necessary to get the outcome that we were looking for. And certainly it was tough. We knew what it was going to take. And all of us made that commitment. And fortunately for us, we were able to achieve it.
BJ, I'm curious. We're all just drinking this in at this time, which I think we would have anyway, regardless, but especially now. What has it been like for you to sit back and watch and maybe like rewatch bits of your life as told through this documentary? What's that been like for you?
Well, yeah, I mean, Tate hears me say this all the time. I never imagined 25, 30 years ago that I would be talking about something that I did back then when I was, 20 years old myself. It's kind of weird to watch yourself on television. At least I find it very uncomfortable, to say the least. I'm not sitting around like watching myself play or better yet watching but things that I live. It's always someone else's life, right? I like going to movies or television. I'm watching someone else, not myself. But I think it's been great for the fans to be able to peek behind the curtain, if you will, about Michael Jordan, to hear from the man himself, because he's such a polarizing figure. And, for all of us who are basketball fans, you know, you get a chance to hear from the very best. And I think it's important to hear from him and what was his driving force to allow him to get to that place and to see what made him so competitive.
You mentioned Michael, a polarizing figure. Is this documentary accurate? Does it do it justice? Does it tell us all so far, do you think?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it does a great job. I couldn't believe that they were going to have 10 hours or 10 episodes. I thought that was a lot. As we're getting to the last two episodes, I'm like, it's not enough. You need more time. So I've been, for us to sit down for 5 weeks in a row to be anticipating what was said, I think it's been great. It's been awesome. I know for the younger generation, be able to, with my kids, to watch this with my kids has been a thrill for me in that regard, because I didn't realize it was that exciting. I just thought that's what that's what you did. So it's fun for them to see a part of their father's history that, I never talk about, and to see it now and share it with the world. Like, it's been interesting to see the response.
PJ Armstrong, Tate Frazier with us, pushing through with the Kid and Tate as the podcast after the last dance. You can get that where you find podcasts with the Westwood One Podcast Network. PJ, when you went to the Bulls, how quickly did you know that this team was special and on the verge of doing something special?
I never felt then, and when you're playing, you think that you have a chance, but you just never know. And Detroit was a very, very good team at the time. The Pistons, they were an excellent team. And we felt that we had an opportunity as a group, but we just never knew. And we had lost to them the year before in Game 7. And when you're playing, winning and losing is a small, it's a loose ball here, a jump ball there. But I did know we had a bunch of guys who were willing to go through the process. And that's what I remember most, is that, as you looked around the locker room, you just knew that these guys were never going to give up. So we all figured out, if we're going to try it, let's try it and let's see what happens and live with the results. And like I said, fortunately for us, that's what we did. And once we were able to overcome the Detroit Pistons, we were able to win two more championships. And then Scotty and Michael were able to win three more. So it was a great run. And a great group of guys, and I'm very fortunate to be a part of that group.
I read today where Pippen's not happy about how he's being portrayed. I'm curious, Tate, you've known BJ a long time. How accurately has this thing depicted the guy that you know?
Well, I've spent a large part of my adult life in the public eye, and I get, you can come in and you can see something and you'll see a little snippet, but that doesn't tell the true story. So I understand, what it is. And look, who am I to say? I'm not the director. It's not my job, but I can certainly say this, in all of this, I never want to get, sidetracked to what Scottie Pippen meant to that group, what Scottie Pippen meant to all of us who played on those teams. He's one of the greatest players to ever play. And, he certainly had some years in there where he was a top 5, top 10 player, certainly in the NBA. at any given moment, and we couldn't have achieved anything without him. But you know what? This is another example and of things that you live in the public eye, and you never know how it's going to be received. So, but as a player, he was magnificent to play with, and he was an incredible teammate.
Yep.
All right, Tate. So how accurate has the depiction been of BJ in this thing? You've known him a while. Y'all are friends. Fill us in. Give us some details, the behind the scenes.
I will say this. BJ is very, you know, he did not want to, like, the director, Drew Snair, came on the podcast, he'll push it through with us, and he said BJ was the MVP of the series. BJ, you know, had told me before he didn't think he'd be much in the series, so I'd always take what he said with a grain of salt beforehand, and then I would watch. And I will say this, when they've asked BJ, to, like, get a good quote to kind of describe what's going on with Michael at the time, I think one of the best ones is when he was talking about winning time with Michael, and, you know, as a team with the Bulls, they knew how to just, they could just play basketball, right? And then at the end of the game, Michael was going to come through and win the game, and that's what Michael was there for. He's the finisher. That's how elevated his game was at that point, and that's how BJ talks about basketball, and I think in the documentary, that's what I've enjoyed so much, that BJ's been that voice to kind of say, here's where Michael was, here's what the team was, and I was just enjoying the ride, which I think is a great way to look at the whole story.
Tate Frazier, BJ Armstrong with us. BJ, obviously winning championships is fun, but I'm curious, just on a baseline level, was it fun to play with Michael and to practice with Michael and to be a part of that whole thing?
Yeah, that was the best. And, you know, as great as he was in the game, and certainly he was terrific, the best part of the whole experience were the practices and all of the things behind the scenes. And because you get a chance to learn about people and their habits, and you get a chance to see, you know, what's important and, you know, what's fact from fiction. So I love that probably more than anything. I wish we had the practices filmed, because those were the best times. Those were the most competitive times. And you know, the thing I hopefully they'll show is that I think the most important thing to him was just being one of the guys. And we're getting a chance to see this star and this superstar, and you know, it's always fun, you know, to be the very best or considered one of the best at anything that you do and get recognized for that. But the thing that we all saw was he enjoyed just being one of the guys, and he had a respect for the team and what we all did as a group. And he certainly was he was the best practice player without question that I've ever seen, and he brought that energy each and every day.
It's been so fun. I feel like every episode is just better than the last. It just keeps getting better and better. What, BJ and Tate, what do you guys expect for these last two episodes? I'm sure that they'll be even better, but what do you think we can expect to see in these two?
I'll hop on first just because BJ actually lived it. I'll just say I'm excited to see what, you know, Michael Jordan's final statement will be on this documentary. You know, what is his lasting, you know, impact that he wants to put out to the world? You know, he's one of those guys, obviously, that has a message behind everything he's doing, because he's, you know, been a brand. He's been the Jordan brand and the Jumpman brand for so long. And so I'm just excited to see in that final episode what Michael wants people to take away from this. What, you know, win at all costs or whatever it may be, whatever the mantra may be. I think it'll be just his love for the game of basketball, but I'm excited to see what that final statement will be.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, Tate summed it up. You know, when it's all said and done about competition and winning, and you know, you when you play, you know, you're gonna, you know, you lose your fair share of games as well. And I think when it's all said and done, you know, he just really loved playing the game, and it wasn't about the fame, it wasn't about the fortune, it wasn't about being the GOAT or the greatest player. It's about this is what you love to do, and when you find your passion, whatever that may be in life, you have this extreme energy, and he brought that energy every day. And I think it's going to be very emotional. If I had to, you know, say, I think it's going to be very emotional in 9 or 10, because in the end, you know, that's what he loved. He loved that game of basketball, and he never cheated the game. He always respected the game. He always respected the sport, and he respected the people that were committed to that sport. So, I think it's going to be very emotional, and probably be a very hard thing for him to say, because he did it at such a high level for so long, and but we'll see how it turns out. I think the first eight episodes have been fantastic, and I can't wait to see 9 and 10.
Tate Frazier, PJ Armstrong, is the podcast going to end after The Last Dance? How can we listen?
You know, it will not end. We will do interviews. We have a bunch of stuff planned after the fact. So this is after The Last Dance, the series will end next Tuesday. The podcast is on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, and BJ will be, you know, with me twice a week on a podcast. So we'll keep it going, and we're very excited about it.
Love it, guys. Thank you for the time. Appreciate it. It's an honor to talk with y'all, and good luck.
All right. Take care.
You guys.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
PJ Armstrong, Tate Frazier, pushing through with the kid and Tate after The Last Dance. When we come back, there are prop bets for The Last Dance last two episodes. And Scottie Pippen, as we mentioned, not happy about how he's being portrayed. That and more next. 3HL 104.5.